At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
The blizzard was supposed to last 2 days. Then two became three. Then I was on day four, holed up in my cabin. The only thing I could see outside was the snow, a white, shifting void that obscured the rest of the mountain range. I looked for the stars out of habit, but they were gone, buried behind layers of storm. The sky was black, thick with cloud and snow and the night. The trees, usually clear, were faint now. A smudge of darkness barely separated nature from the cabin. The thick snow blurred the edges, turning trees into shadows that shifted with the wind. What had once been a sharp, familiar bond was now lost in the white of the snow and darkness of the night. The tree line, usually clear, was faint now. A smudge of darkness barely separated nature from the cabin. The thick snow blurred the edges, turning trees into shadows that shifted with the wind. What had once been a sharp, familiar boundary was now lost in the white of the snow and darkness of the night. I was ready, at least. Before the storm hit, I'd driven down the mountain to the nearby town to stock up on supplies, like I always do. I filled up my good old Ford F-150 with food, water, and anything else I might need to ride out the worst of it. Back at the clearing off the cabin, I chopped firewood. I've already got enough stacked to last through a second ice age, but it gives me something to do. Something to break up the quiet. All aspects of it. The rhythmic thunk of the axe hitting the wood, the smell of fresh pine, the way the pile grows bigger with every swing. It all keeps me from thinking too much. I don't get visitors. That's not me being dramatic, it's just a fact. The nearest neighbor is a 45-minute drive down the mountain, and that's when the roads are clear, which they're not. Haven't been for days. That's why, when I heard a knock, I damn near dropped the mug of cocoa I was holding. It wasn't loud, just two slow, deliberate raps on the door. Then nothing. I stood there in the kitchen for a few seconds, just listening, waiting to hear it again. The storm was still going strong outside, but underneath the wind, the silence settled again like a blanket. Neither a knock nor a voice calling out followed. I figured I'd imagined it, cabin fever and all that. Wouldn't be the first time. But I walked to the door anyway. Something in me wouldn't let it go. Could have been curiosity, or maybe I was just so goddamn starved for company that I wanted there to be someone out there. I opened the door, and there he was. A kid in his early 20s, maybe. He could have passed for a college student if he wasn't half frozen. His face was pale as paper, lips blue, eyes wide and glassy like he wasn't all there. Snow clung to his coat in heavy clumps, and he was shaking so hard his teeth were clacking together. "God," I said, before I even thought about it. He didn't answer, didn't even look at me. Just stood there, trembling in the doorway like he didn't know where he was. I should have hesitated. Should have asked what he was doing out in a blizzard, who he was, how he got up here. But I didn't. If I closed the door and he died out there, I'd never be able to live with myself. That part of me, the part that used to be a husband, the part that could have been a father one day, it's still there, somewhere, even if it's quieter now. "Come in," I said. "Come in. Let's get you warm." He stepped inside without a word. The wind slammed the door shut behind him. He left a trail of melting snow behind him as I led him to the fire. His boots were soaked through. I had him sit on the old armchair by the hearth while I threw a couple logs on and got the flames high. I asked if he was hurt. He didn't answer. "Can you talk?" I tried again. "Tell me your name." Still nothing. Just that 1,000-yard stare. Like he was looking through the fire, past it, like he saw something there I couldn't. He looked like hell, skin pale and tight over the bones, lips cracked, nose bleeding just a little from the cold. I knelt down beside him to check for frostbite. And that's when I saw it. On his side, just below the ribs, his jacket torn and shirt soaked with blood, was a wound, a deep bite, ragged, raw, and already turning dark around the edges. It wasn't new, a day old, maybe more. The skin around it was red and hot. "You didn't say you were bit," I muttered, more to myself than to him. He flinched when I touched it, first reaction I'd gotten out of him. His eyes snapped to mine, wild, just for a second. Then they went vacant again. It didn't look like a wolf bite. I've seen those before. Hell, I've seen worse, back when I hunted more often. Wolves tear, rip, pull. This was cleaner. Too clean. I patched it up as best I could, cleaned it, wrapped gauze tight around his ribs. He winced, but didn't make a sound. Just watched me, breathing shallow, like a cornered animal. After that, I set him up in the guest room. It had a bed, a thick blanket, and a space heater in the corner. He didn't say a word, and just laid down, curled in on himself, eyes still wide open. I left him there, closed the door gently behind me. The cabin felt smaller after that, like he brought something in with him. A weight, a shift in the air. I tried to shake it. I made myself tea, sat by the fire, and held a book in my lap I didn't read. I checked on him an hour later. He was asleep, out cold, no fever, at least none I could feel. I left the door cracked, just in case. I must have nodded off at some point. The fire was down to coals when I woke up. House quiet as the grave. I could hear the wind screaming against the windows, the old trees creaking out front, but nothing inside. No footsteps, no coughing, no movement from the guest room. I was just about to check again when I heard the floorboard creak. He was standing in the hall, just watching me. "Fuck," I said, nearly spilling my tea. He blinked slowly, looked around like he wasn't sure where he was.
"Sorry," he said, voice hoarse, dry. "Didn't mean to scare you." "Sorry," I said. "You're lucky to be alive. What the hell were you doing up here?"
He scratched at his bandage.
"Hiking," he said, "with my girlfriend, Emma."
I waited.
"We were camping in the woods. Yesterday, a few nights before, got caught in the storm. Thought we'd hunker down, ride it out."
He stopped, his jaw tightened.
"We heard something," he said. "Outside the tent. I thought it was wolves, big ones. We stayed quiet, didn't move, but it didn't matter. They tore through the sun."
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
"Right." He swallowed hard, eyes wet now, but not crying.
"I ran. I didn't even see what they looked like. Just teeth. It was wrong. Too many of them." Emma screamed, and then
his voice broke off. "You didn't see her after that?" He shook his head.
I ran until I couldn't. Then I saw your cabin.
You're safe now, kid. Just rest. He nodded, turned, and walked back to the guest room like he was sleepwalking. I tried going back to sleep, even poured myself another mug of cocoa just to have something warm in my hands. But the air felt heavier now, like it was pressing in on me, one inch at a time. Sometime after midnight, I heard the floor creak. I glanced up, expecting to see him again, maybe wandering the hall, confused. But there was no one, just the faint sound of the bathroom door clicking shut at the end of the hall. A light spilled out in a thin line under the frame. I waited. 5 minutes, then 10. The pipes groaned once, a long, low exhale, like the cabin itself was holding its breath. Then I heard glass break. I walked to the bathroom and cleared my throat loud enough for him to hear. No response.
You all right in there?
Still nothing. Steam started seeping out from under the door, slow and crawling, hugging the floor like smoke. It looked off, not sharp and white like a shower usually gives off. It was thicker, heavier, gray around the edges, like breath fogged on glass. I stood outside for another minute, then stepped closer. I pressed my knuckles to the door and knocked once, gently.
You hear me, son?
Silence. Not even the shuffle of movement. No cough, no running water. The wood felt cold beneath my hand. Not warm like it should be, with steam coming through. Just still and dead and cold. I leaned in, pressed my ear to the door, listened. Nothing. Every instinct in me said, walk away. Let it be. The boy had been through hell. Maybe he needed time. Maybe he was sick. Maybe he just broke the mirror by accident. Maybe I was imagining things again. But my gut had gone cold, and it wasn't from the storm. I wrapped my hand around the knob. It was slick with condensation. I turned it slowly, quiet as I could, until the latch gave way with a soft click. Then, holding my breath, I gently opened the door. What I saw shook me. The kid was split open vertically down the middle, bisected with a horrific precision that ran from the crown of his head, through his nose, mouth, and sternum, all the way down to his groin. The bathroom looked like a butcher's block, the tiled floor underneath stained with something dark and moist. His two halves rested on the floor like broken mannequins, separated by a sickening foot of space. Ribs, stark white and splintering, jutted like snapped fences. Muscles still glistening and unnervingly pink, hung in strips. The coiled lengths of intestine and the dull, spilled organs lay exposed and motionless on the floor, some still clinging to one half of the body. There was an emptiness where his spine should have been, a hollowed-out canyon running through his core. It was as if something massive had forced its way out from the inside. The precision of the split through bone and gristle was alien, wrong. Then, through the haze of shock, a draft hit me. A bone-deep cold that had nothing to do with the storm outside. My eyes, still wide and unfocused, slowly tracked it. The small bathroom window, usually sealed tight against the mountain air, was shattered. Not just cracked, but exploded outward, as if something had exited through it. Jagged shards of glass glittered on the sill and floor. The fierce wind howled through the gap, bringing with it a stinging spray of snow. And from the half of the young man's body that was closer to the window, a trail began. A glistening, repulsive path of black and dark red slime snaked across the pristine white tiles, past the gurgling toilet, over the shattered glass, and through the broken window frame, disappearing into the white void of the blizzard. I thought it was blood, but it was thick, viscous, and seemed to pulsate faintly in the dim light, leaving an oily sheen in its wake. Whatever had been inside him, whatever had ripped him apart and then fled, had left this horrifying signature. I finally found my breath. It was a cold, panicked gasp that tasted of iron and a strange stink coming off the floor. I backed away slowly, never taking my eyes off the split halves, off the black and red trail that snaked across the tiles. Every instinct screamed, run. Not down the mountain. I'd never make it. But away from this room. It was out there now. Something that hid inside a man, then discarded the skin to crawl through a broken window into a night that would kill anything normal. The thought of it sliding down the mountain, of it reaching the small, defenseless town I'd just driven through days ago, made adrenaline surge through paralysis. It couldn't make it to town. Not on my watch. My feet moved before my brain gave the order. I didn't bother closing the bathroom door. The horror had already escaped. I moved past the living room, where the cozy glow of the dying fire felt like a cruel joke, and into the master bedroom. I went straight to the closet, tucked behind my winter gear, right where I always kept it, was a Remington 870. I pulled it out. The cold steel of the pump action, a familiar weight in my hands. I grabbed the box of double-aught buckshot from the shelf, spilling a handful of crimson shells onto the carpet, but I didn't stop to pick them up. I loaded the shotgun quickly, the sharp, metallic shick-shick of the shells cutting through the roar of the wind. It had been years since I'd pointed a gun at anything that wasn't a deer, but looking at the slick, dark trail leading out of my house, I knew this wasn't hunting a living being. This was stopping something that was already dead, something that had worn death, then shed it. I wasn't a hero. I was just a widower with a cabin, a shotgun, and a terrifying realization. I was the last line of defense. The storm that had trapped me had trapped it, too, on the mountain. I held the shotgun steady, my knuckles white. The wind howled outside. The tree...
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
This creaked. I checked the hall one last time, glanced at the horror show of the bathroom, then moved toward the front door. There was no plan. There was only the gun in my hands, worry in my heart, and the knowledge that something sinister was crawling through the snow towards civilization. I flipped the deadbolt and hit the door with my shoulder. The wind was a physical blow, a sudden, blinding white sheet that stole my breath and stung my eyes. The roar of the storm swallowed the world around. It was a complete whiteout. My eyes searched frantically for the trail. The front porch was already buried under a fresh drift, but I knelt down, shielding my face against the immediate sting of the snow. There it was, still outside, the bathroom window on the other side of the perimeter. The oily, black and crimson slime was already freezing, but it hadn't been buried yet. It was distinct, lying on the otherwise clean snow like spilled oil. It didn't just drip, it looked like something had slithered. I followed it, sinking immediately into the drifts up to my knees. The air was so cold it burned my lungs. I kept the Remington high. Its barrel was a dark, steady presence against the blinding white. The trail, growing in width as I followed it, led past the wood pile and headed directly for the tree line. The trees themselves were black specters against the night, swaying and groaning under the weight of the snow. I fought against the resistance of the deep snow, pushing myself faster, driven by the metallic reek of the slime that, even in the freezing air, seemed to linger. I was maybe 20 yards from the cabin, battling a sudden, heaving gust, when I saw it. At first, I thought it was a buck driven mad by the storm. It was easily that size, low to the ground, its dark shape barely discernible in the whirling vortex of snow where the cabin's clearing met the forest edge. But it didn't move like a deer. It didn't trot or bound. It scuttled. It was hunkered down, its massive body creating a brief moment of stillness in the blizzard. A small, black shadow against the white fury. I stopped dead, sinking deeper into the drift. I raised the shotgun, pushing the safety off with a dry click. Through the shifting veil of snow, I strained to make out details, and the details I found were strange. It was hairy, thick black fur matted and clotted. The fur was plastered down in clumps, matted thick with the same crimson slime that lines the floor of my bathroom. Its bulk seems to be expanding. The hair giving it an immense, distorted volume, but the low, hunched posture suggested it was something that preferred to crawl. It had multiple limbs, too many, working in sync to move it along the ground, thick, jointed appendages that glistened unnervingly. The sight was a sickening contradiction. The heavy, dense covering of fur mixed with the raw, unnatural sheen of the slime. It looked like a living, wet wound covered in an animal's coat. Then, it lifted something. Its head. I realized with a shudder of pure dread. It was impossibly large and angular, but I couldn't discern a face. Then, the wind cleared the snow just enough for me to see a flash of wet, sickly red where the eyes or a mouth should have been, reflecting the distant, faint light from my cabin window. It didn't see me. It seemed focused entirely on the darkness of the tree line, already begging to merge with the shadows. It was moving, still low and fast, dragging its huge, repulsive body away from the cabin and toward the mountain pass that led to town. I gripped the shotgun, ignoring the trembling of my own body. The blizzard made the shot difficult, but the distance was short. If I let it reach the shelter of the trees, it would be gone. I took the slack out of the trigger. There was no hesitation left in me, just the immediate, primal need to stop this monstrosity before it vanished. I squeezed the trigger. The sound of the Remington going off was deafening, a violent boom that shattered the stillness of the storm. The flash of the muzzle momentarily burned the image of the creature into my retina. I felt the powerful kick of the shotgun against my shoulder, and a split second later, the buckshot slammed into the creature's massive torso. It didn't go down. Instead, the thing let out a sound that cut right through the howling wind. A screaming wail that was entirely inorganic, like tearing metal on a wet, ripping canvas. It was a noise of pain, but also of inhuman rage. And it sent a spike of pure terror through my chest. The section of its body where the shot hit seemed to absorb the impact, scattering the spray of the thick, dark slime and a few clumps of matted hair into the air. It scrambled. The monstrous body, for all its bulk, moved with terrifying speed, abandoning the relatively clear ground and lunging into the dense black of the tree line. I pumped the action, ejecting the spent shell and loading a fresh round. I didn't wait to see if it was mortally wounded. I just knew I had to keep it moving, keep it from burrowing down or reaching the pass. I plunged into the forest after it, following the fresh, dark disturbance in the snow. The trees offered a brief, deceptive shield from the worst of the wind, but the snow was deeper here, making every step a labor. I focused only on the trail, the churning snow, the scattered slime, the deep, heavy indentations of its multiple limbs. I ran until my legs burned. Until the cold made the skin on my face ache, until the sounds of its desperate, laborious breathing were drowned out by my own. Then, I stopped. The trail vanished. One moment I was following a distinct line of destruction, the next, the snow was pristine, only marked by my own clumsy boot prints. I moved forward a few more steps, scanning the blizzard-shrouded ground, wondering if the heavy snow had worked against me and buried the signs. But no, the trail hadn't slowly faded. It had ended completely, as if the creature had simply dissolved into the air. I rotated slowly, the shotgun trembling slightly in my grip, my eyes uselessly searching the area around me. My breath hitched. I caught it only as an indistinct smear of shadow, a sudden movement in my peripheral vision, high above me. I tilted my head back, staring up into the shifting, wind-whipped canopy of the pines. There was no ground trail, because the trail had continued up. The dark, oily slime wasn't on the snow anymore. It was smeared high on the bark of the nearest trees, running in sickening vertical streaks. The monster hadn't been slowed. It had simply used the vertical space the forest offered. It had the high ground. It was above, hidden by the night and the dense pine needles, and I was exposed beneath it. My heart hammered against my ribs. I had gone from the hunter to the obvious, slow-moving target. I scanned the dark trunks of the nearest pines, searching for any break, any shelter that might afford me a moment of cover. About 10 feet away, a massive ancient pine had been partially uprooted long ago, its gnarled root system exposed. The dirt and thick, woody roots had formed a dark, protective cave against the elements. I dove toward it, dropping to my hands and knees in the snow. I wedged myself into the space beneath the largest root, pulling the shotgun close to my chest.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
My back pressed against the cold, frozen earth. I held perfectly still, straining my ears against the wind, forcing myself to shrink into the shadows in the earth. It was silence again, save for the storm. The vast black space between the high branches and the low earth was not where the true danger lay. I looked up through an opening in the uplifted roots, seeing only the tangled darkness. I waited for a drop of slime, a tremor of a branch, or the silent, horrifying moments when that massive, hairy, glistening shape would descend. I stayed perfectly still, trying to slow the panicked rush of my breath. The silence, punctuated only by the wind, was unbearable. The creature was somewhere above, hunting for the man that had just fired the loud, disruptive weapon. Then, the snow began to sift down. Not from the storm, but from the branches above. Chunks fell, followed by a sudden, heavy thud just yards away. It had dropped. The creature was on the ground again, but now it wasn't scrambling away. It was waddling. A fast, deliberate, low-to-the-earth movement, like a massive, glistening insect trying to appear harmless. Its bulk seemed even more immense now that it was no longer distorted by the heights, and I could hear the wet, squelching sound of its many appendages on the snow. It moved slowly into the small clearing around my hiding spot. I was pressed so tightly against the frozen roots that the wood dug painfully into my spine, but I didn't dare flinch. I had already positioned the Remington. My shooting hand gripped the trigger. The barrel angled slightly up and out toward the opening of the root cave, resting against the snow-covered ground. The creature's movement was erratic, darting toward the tree line one moment, then pulling back. Why hasn't it found me? Then I realized it wasn't looking for me. Its massive, misshapen head was constantly sniffing the air, lifting and twisting with jerky movements. The air was thick with the howling blizzard and the scent of damp pine and frozen earth. The storm was masking my scent. The wind and the heavy, blowing snow were scattering and nullifying my presence, covering the fresh trace of gunpowder and adrenaline. I was lucky. The storm had become my unintentional ally. After a few minutes, the sniffing paid off. The waddling ceased, and its massive, slimy, hairy form turned directly toward my root cave. It approached the gap between the thick roots, filling the dark space with its bulk. It was so close, I could feel the minute vibrations of its weight disturbing the ground. And then, its head lowered. The snow cleared just long enough for me to see the details I hadn't been able to discern in the blizzard. Its head was roughly the size of a buck or moose skull, but hideously wrong. The bone structure was too broad, too blunt. It had no discernible eyes, just wide swaths of slick, wet flesh, the color of old blood. It wasn't just fur that covered it. Its thick, dark hair was matted with the slime, forming a repulsive, heavy mane. Interspersed within its mane were a horrifying number of short, glistening, leech-like appendages that writhed slightly in the cold air, tasting and searching. Then it was inches from my face. I could smell the metallic stench of the black slime mixed with the sour, coppery odor of raw meat. I was looking into the mouth of a nightmare that had walked out of a man. One of the slick, worm-like appendages darted out, brushing against the tip of my nose. In that instant, it knew. The thing recoiled slightly, its large, blunt head drawing back, the wet flesh of its face tightening into an expression of immediate primal recognition. The meal was found, the obstacle identified. It was about to strike. I didn't let it. I drove the barrel of the Remington up and sideways, the muzzle nearly touching the side of its monstrous head. The blast was muffled and wet, an awful, contained thunder. The buckshot tore into the creature's skull from below, and the thing erupted. A horrifying geyser of black slime, wet fur, and bone fragments sprayed into the roots above me. The creature shuddered once, a massive, muscular tremor, before its great weight collapsed. It didn't fall on me, thankfully, but it landed directly outside my hiding spot, its massive body completely blocking the entrance. I lowered the shotgun, the noise of the ringing in my ears louder than the wind. I was trapped beneath a mountain of steaming, reeking horror. The ringing in my ears faded slowly, replaced by the sickening sound of hot, wet matter sizzling on frozen snow. I was entombed. The creature's immense, cooling mass was pressed up against the root system, sealing the entrance to my makeshift bunker. I could hear the wind now, muffled by the sheer volume of dead, hairy flesh. I lowered the hammer on the shotgun slowly, my entire body shaking with a delayed, violent reaction. The smell was overwhelming now, a blast of copper, sulfur, and the sour stink of the creature's slime. The muzzle of the Remington was coated in gore. I had to get out. If the blizzard kept up, I'd be trapped here beneath a rotting carcass until the spring melt. I shoved the shotgun's barrel against the creature's flank, testing the weight. No movement. It was like pushing a felled, waterlogged oak tree. I shifted my weight, reaching with my free hand, and finally found the edge of the root that had protected me. I pressed my shoulder against the dirt wall and pushed, straining. The corpse moved an inch, then sank back. I had to try a different way. I turned the shotgun around and used the thick, heavy butts of the stalk to scrape away the dirt and packed snow beneath me, burrowing deeper into the root system. The ground was hard and frozen, but the shotgun butt gave me just enough leverage to widen a small, cramped gap between two lateral roots. Gasping, I barely squeezed through the opening. I emerged on the far side of the massive pine away from the creature's bulk. I stood up slowly, my heartbeat pounding in my temples, and walked back over to look at the kill. It lay motionless, its multi-limbed body contorted awkwardly on the snow, but something was wrong. Where the head had been, there was only a ruin of black fur and pulped bone. Yet a thin, milky white steam was rising from the wound. And then I noticed the blood, or lack of it. It wasn't bleeding out. The dark, black-red slime was only slowly oozing, congealing almost immediately in the bitter cold. The buckshot had caused massive trauma, but the creature's internal volume seemed insufficient for its size. It felt like I had shot a sack of thick fluid rather than a complex biological organism. My eyes caught something on the creature's massive flank, where the first blast of buckshot had hit. The matted fur had been stripped clean, revealing the skin beneath. It was pale, slick, and thin, stretched tight over the enormous frame. The skin was visibly healing, slowly knitting itself back together. The gaping holes from the shot were shrinking, the raw, pink-red tissue pulling toward a center point. It was a terrifying, impossible regeneration. The steam wasn't from cooling blood. It was from a burning internal process.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
My breath hitched. The entire premise of this battle, that a shotgun could stop it, was a lie. I had maybe 10 minutes before it was functional again. I had to get back to the cabin, not just for ammunition, but for something heavier, something more final. I turned and ran like a madman, the snow swallowing my footing, the low branches whipping my face. The familiar trek back to the cabin was a blur of white and black, driven by the cold fear that the monster would simply stand up behind me. I burst through the door, slamming it shut and throwing the deadbolt, though I knew a simple piece of metal wouldn't hold that bulk for long. I raced past the silent horror of the bathroom and into the storage closet. I didn't grab the deer rifle. A bullet was a coin toss, but fire was a guarantee. Tucked beneath the winter tires were two red 5-gallon jerry cans, one for the snowmobile, one for the backup generator. I grabbed a can of kerosene, too. It would burn slower and hotter than gasoline, and yanked it out. Next, I needed a wick. I dove into the kitchen, grabbed the thickest rag I could find, a towel used for drying dishes, and stuffed it into my pocket. The light was my last stop. I opened the kitchen drawer and snatched a long, thin butane lighter used for starting the pilot light. I was ready, but not fast enough. The quiet, heavy silence I'd endured for the past few minutes was broken by a sound I'd only heard when cutting down trees. A slow, heavy, ripping sound coming from the side of the cabin, the side where the bathroom window was. It had found its way back. The hole it had created to exit the young man's body wasn't large enough for its current monstrous size, and it wasn't trying to climb through the window. It was tearing the wall apart. I could hear the sickening crunch of frozen pine breaking and the sound of thick wood snapping. I can only assume it was fully healed or close enough to it. The storm, which had given me cover, now threatens to bury me inside my own cabin if I wasn't careful. I had to take the fire to the monster. I yanked the front door open, the kerosene can heavy and cold in my hand, then plunged back out into the blizzard. The creature wasn't at the door. I rounded the corner of the cabin, the heavy kerosene sloshing, and saw the damage. A huge section of the wall near the bathroom was ruined, wood splintered, and insulation streaming out like cotton guts. The creature was there, its massive, steaming head pulled back from the shredded wall. It saw me instantly. The bluff of the blizzard had been called. I was standing in the open, and it was less than 20 feet away. It began its repulsive, slow waddle towards me. Its limbs churned the snow, the black slime glistened, its regenerated head tilted low. It was honing in on me. I dropped to a knee, pulling the heavy can close. I twisted the plastic cap off, then tore the towel from my pocket, shoving one end into the neck of the can to soak. The stench of the oil and the creature's musk mingled horribly in the cold air. The monster was 10 feet away. I didn't try to aim. I just tipped the heavy can and began to drench the path between us as I walked backwards. I emptied half of the 5 gallons in a wide, black arc, right into the snow and across the creature's forelimbs. The kerosene didn't mix with the snow. It simply stained it, turning the white ground into a shimmering, black slick. The creature didn't stop. It waddled right through the flammable pool, its greasy fur absorbing the oil. As the beast closed the distance, close enough now that I could feel the steam emanating off its back, I pulled the soaked towel out, threw the can aside, and flicked the butane lighter. The thin blue flame fought the wind for a fraction of a second, then held. With a final desperate roar to myself, I lit the kerosene-soaked rag like a torch and threw it directly at the monster. It hit the creature's torso, and the effect was instantaneous and brutal. The oil-soaked fur and the slick, saturated snow trail ignited with a violent whoosh. The flames were furious, a shocking blast of orange and red against the white snow. The creature was engulfed in a terrible, screaming pillar of fire. The kerosene and the creature's own slick, greasy essence fed the flames instantly, making them burn with a blinding, hot intensity. The monster shrieked, a sound of agony and pure animal terror, and began to thrash violently in the fire. It wasn't waddling anymore. It was rolling in the snow, trying to beat out the inferno. Fortunately for me, the flames stuck to its oiled coat like glue. It was a chaotic, burning silhouette against the backdrop of a swirling blizzard. The thick black smoke was lost immediately in the swirling white. I backed away. The heat of the fire was a shocking contrast to the bitter cold. I watched the creature convulse, unable to stop the burning, unable to heal what was being systematically destroyed. The smell of burning hair, oil, and something metallic sweet was nauseating. Finally, after a minute that felt like an hour, the thrashing stopped. The creature lay still, a massive, charred monument to my desperate resolve. The fire still raged, but the movement was gone. I leaned against the icy wood of the cabin, the shotgun forgotten at my feet. The flames were already starting to melt a ring of snow around the body, but the blizzard continued to rage. The intense heat from the burning carcass was already beginning to recede, fighting a losing battle against the continuous onslaught of the blizzard. I stood for a moment, letting the sheer exhaustion wash over me before the pragmatism and determination of the mountain man kicked in. The fire was dying, and what was left of this thing couldn't be allowed to heal or even to rot here. I grabbed the heavy kerosene can and emptied the last of its contents into the smoldering pile, coaxing the flames back into a furious, consuming roar. I moved the equipment inside, then returned to the blazing carcass with my axe. It took a sickening 15 minutes of hacking and separating what little was left of the creature's bulk. I dragged the black, escaping chunks through the snow and tossed them back into the heart of the blaze. The air was thick with the stench of oil and the sweet, terrible smell of burning meat. I was purging the mountain of this evil. When I was done, only a patch of melted snow and a few glowing embers remained. I stood over the pyre, the axe handle cold in my numb hands, watching the last of the embers fade into the furious white. I turned, intending to head back inside, lock the doors, and face the grim reality of the split body in the bathroom. That's when I heard it. It wasn't the wind, and it wasn't the groan of a tree. It was a faint, wet, screaming wail, identical to the sound the creature had made when the buckshot first hit it. The sound of ripping canvas and tearing metal. It came from the same direction as the first time, from the depths of the trees, from where the young man had come. I spun around, bringing the axe up like a shield, searching the blinding, swirling storm. My mind immediately went to the rifle, the thing I had left behind in the house in my haste. I had nothing but a bloody, snow-covered axe and a dead fire. The wail came again, closer this time. High-pitched and choked. I took a step backward, preparing to fight, when a memory finally pierced the fog of panic. The young man's vacant eyes. The young man.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Story. Hiking with my girlfriend, Emma. Fuck.
Thank you for listening and delving with me into the dark together.
Please remember to leave a thumbs up and subscribe if you feel so inclined. The more engagement this video gets, the more YouTube will push my content to others.
Thus, the following will grow.
All stories read in this channel will be available on Spotify, iTunes, and just about everywhere else. Links in the description.
Thank you for listening and feeding the cause. We'll be seeing you.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.